Hello, this is Dale with YO1 Radio, and we are once again talking law with Harrowell's solicitors. And joining me today is the fabulous Gillian Markland. Hello.
Hi, Dale. Hi. Thank you for having me on the show.
Of course, of course. So we're going to talk about something that's actually quite close to my heart today, which is employment contracts. Now, it's close to my heart because I'm just some idiot from a council estate in Hartlepool, and all of a sudden I've found that I have to employ people. You know, it's quite a minefield. If you're not used to it, if you're not sort of done it before, you know, you can be really sort of quite intimidated by how you go from being just a person to having employees. So you're going to answer a few questions for me today on that subject.
Of course. Yes. Fire away.
So first of all, why would a business not issue a contract to an employee? And is it illegal to do so? You know, again, as someone who's just starting out on this process, it's quite a minefield. Can you explain a little bit more about it to me?
Yes, of course. I think there's several reasons why an employer doesn't issue a written contract. A lot of the time, they just don't have the time. They started their business. They're busy with that, running the day-to-day workings of it all. And they just don't have the time or find the time to do so. Other reasons are that they're just running a happy ship. They don't want to formalize anything in writing with employees. And then I think another reason is that it's overlooked. You know, they're starting their business and they've just forgotten completely to issue written contracts and are happy to continue on verbal agreements.
So what are the pitfalls then if you have an employee that's working only on a verbal agreement?
There's no certainty. If you're relying on verbal agreements, it's not very clear as to what is expected. And if you have a written contract, it gives you certainty, it gives you flexibility, it protects your business. I mean, legally, employers have to issue some terms and conditions in writing to employees. The very basic information is, you know, the names of the parties, date that they started employment, what their job title is, what they're going to earn, what holidays they're entitled to, the hours that they're expected to work. So they're the kind of like, that's the bare minimum that a business is legally required to give an employee. But we would always suggest a much more comprehensive contract, written contract being issued for the reasons I said before. You know, you can include clauses such as a confidentiality clause, restrictive covenants that prevents a former employee from taking clients or customers. It can outline intellectual property clauses, enhanced sick pay clauses. So we would always suggest a much more comprehensive one than is the minimum that's legally required.
So there is a bare minimum that everyone has to have. And then you're suggesting we go beyond that, we go further, we put in more detail. I'm assuming that can be quite a complicated bespoke thing. So I'm assuming someone like you has to be realistically sort of spoken to about making this happen. Because is it an easy thing to get wrong?
It is. And if, you know, we would draft a contract of employment that's bespoke for your business, that suits you. You know, not every contract suits every business. Restrictive covenants, for example, you know, you have to be very clear as to exactly what it is you're preventing an employee or a former employee from doing when they go and work elsewhere. Absolutely. I would suggest that people take advice on a contract of employment.
I think that's quite an important point, isn't it, really? You know, you're talking about these contracts that control what people do within your business, how they work. It's to protect everybody, but it's beyond
Absolutely.
That, isn't it? It goes sort of when they leave the business beyond there. You know, what happens not just when they work for you, but when they stop working for you. I think that's quite an important point.
Absolutely. And very often, a contract of employment really is only ever looked at again when an issue arises.
Yeah.
So yes, it gives the basic details, but when an issue arises, so for example, when an employee does leave, that's the time when contracts are looked at and employees or former employees need reminding what clauses they're bound by once they've left.
I think it's quite sort of important to remember that you need to take the emotion out of it, isn't it? In my experience personally now, you know, it's quite an emotive thing. You hire someone, you think they're wonderful, you think they're great, it's the best thing ever. So you can sort of get swept up in that and forget to protect the business, protect yourself, protect the employee with these sort of contracts that, you know, because you are feeling so great about things, but things don't always end as great as the start, I suppose.
That's right. I very often get told that we're like a family. Why do we need anything as formal as a contract of employment? And my response is, well, you know, have you ever seen a family at war? It's not a pretty sight. You know, best thing is to try and avoid that.
Yeah, I suppose it's all about just giving yourself peace of mind, protecting the future. Things might be great now, but they might not be in 6 months or yet. Hopefully it will be. Hopefully you'll never have to look at the contract ever again.
Absolutely. Yes.
But I suppose it's the same as anything. Right. It's the same as having a will. It's better to have it and not need it than, you know. and you don't have
one. No, you're absolutely right.
So if you were sort of, if you had to give three things that you think should be added to, if we take the standard contract with the legal stuff, if you would think what the most important three things are to add to a more detailed contract, what do you think those would be?
It really depends on your business, but I would definitely consider including restrictive covenants and
okay, what is a restrictive covenant?
So a restrictive covenant, it sets out what an employee cannot do once they leave your employment. So for example, they cannot take with them your clients or your customers or your business. Sometimes they can go further and prevent an employee from working for a competitor. And that really does protect your business, especially if somebody is customer facing, they're well liked. It prevents you from losing business if that person leaves your employment, because it restricts them in time for contacting, for example, your customers and taking business away from you.
I mean, that's so important in a place like York, which is a place built on small, independent local businesses where relationships are massive and really matter. If you have one person that's very popular, you know, they can make or break you if they take everything with them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Another one that I would suggest is a confidentiality clause, just to make sure that any trade secrets or other confidential information in your business remains confidential and isn't disclosed to, for example, one of your competitors, like price lists and things like that.
Okay. So that's strange that stuff like that isn't included as a standard contract.
Yes. Well, the main basic terms and conditions are really the most basic things, like what the names of the parties are and what your salary is going to be. And employees are entitled to that on day one of their employment. So it is a day one right. But as I say, it's just the bare minimum that should be given in that statement.
So we've got restrictive covenants. We've got confidentiality clauses. Third thing you think is most important?
Yeah. Oh, most important, possibly not most important, but possibly garden leave clause, where somebody isn't required to work their notice period, but they are still an employee of the business, which again gives you, the business owner, time to forge the relationships that person may have had with your customers. It keeps them within the business. It prevents them from working elsewhere during their notice period. That's something else that can protect the business.
That's an interesting one, isn't it? Because you think that if someone leaves, you want them in the business, so you want them gone. You don't want to be paying them to do nothing, sort of thing. So that's sort of one that could be perceived as a negative necessarily, but you're saying, you know, that's quite an important thing.
It is, yeah. I mean, it means that person can't go and work for example, a competitor during that, because they are still your employee.
Absolutely.
So they can't start work elsewhere. They're still bound by their terms and conditions of employment during their notice period.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're saying that beyond the sort of usual holiday stuff, we think it's really important to have restrictive covenants. We think it's really important to have confidentiality clauses and garden leave clauses. Now, that all sounds wonderful. And to be honest, sounds fairly obvious now that you've laid it out there. It's something that you think should be included all the time, but it's crazy that it isn't.
That's just the way it is.
So how can people get in touch with you if they want to discuss these things? And if they're sort of sat there listening to this and thinking, oh my goodness, I don't have any of this stuff. I've got some very basic stuff. I've got an employee causing me trouble. What if that goes badly? How can we get in touch with you?
You can give me a call on 01904 698 620, or you can send me an email at gillian.markland@harrowells.co.uk. or visit our website if you want to get in touch and send an online inquiry.
That is fabulous. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Gillian. And this has been Talking Law with Harrowell Solicitors.